Welcome to the Goals Podcast, the business case for women's sports, where we explore every corner of the women's sports industry from the field to the front office. I'm Caroline Fitzgerald, and I'm here to prove that it's good business to be in the business of women's sports. Today's episode is brought to you by Ally, a changemaker in women's sports steadfast in their commitment to the fight for media equity. Our guest today is Megan Oglesby, an investor and board member of WPSL Pro, which is a sanctioned Division II women's professional league set to launch in the coming years. Welcome to the show, Megan.
Hey, good morning. I'm so happy to be here. And what a time it is to be in women's sports.
It's truly the best. It seems like every single day we're experiencing some unprecedented growth. So, Megan, it's just an honor to have you come on the show today to talk about what you and your partners are building at the Women's Premier Soccer League Pro in the coming years. So, Megan, you and the team just announced the launch of the new league, which is the first second division women's pro soccer league in the U.S. And you decided to launch this league after recognizing both the growth of women's sports and the widening gap between amateur and top tier opportunities. So, to help close that gap, enter WPSL Pro. So we're going to talk a lot about that today. That's the meat of our conversation. But Megan, you have such an impressive background and so much great experience that you're bringing to the table to help launch this league. So can we start there? Can you run us through your background that ultimately led you to now being an investor and a board member of WPSL Pro?
Sure. So I am from North Carolina. So I'm a High Point, North Carolina native, born and raised. I come from a family of entrepreneurs and opportunists. And I really love creating economic development through community. And a lot of the work that I've done, if you look back at kind of my resume, looks a little bit all over the place, a little bit of a zigzag. But through and through, I would love to invest in people and places. And so when I think about the things that I get involved in, it has to do with the people and the places. And so I have an interesting background. I worked in our company business or our family business for a little while. But what really made me find my passion and really segued into the sport was I worked for our local chamber, helping businesses start and scale. And then I also have worked with our family's private foundation doing philanthropic work in our community. So a lot of ecosystems work around how to improve the quality of life for everybody, for all. And so fast forward to some of the work we were doing through the chamber and through the foundation, our community built this stadium and was designed to be multi-sport, multi-use, and was starting with the baseball team because that's what they secured. And it was a great program for the stadium because they have a lot of home games and baseball is one of our country's great sports. And the opportunity came across my desk to invest in a soccer team to be the second home team of this stadium because they had actually built a second home locker room. They had designed the baseball pitch in a way that it could easily transition into rectangular sports, especially soccer. So for those that are baseball fans, most baseball pitches have, but for the first and third baseline going into home plate is like a 45-degree angle. Well, they designed ours with a 90-degree angle so you could snug that rectangle corner right in there, be really close to the fans. Artificial turf, which, you know, sports purists hate, but realistically, logistically is practical, especially for a community our size. And so the opportunity came across my desk to, it was actually pitching it to my uncle to invest in. And I started doing my due diligence and I realized the power of sport. And I didn't grow up. So like one of the number one questions I get is, did I play soccer? So I grew up in the 80s and 90s and soccer for girls was just an activity. Like it was not what it is today or what it's becoming, which is awesome for our future generation. But it was just one of my activities. I did soccer, I did Girl Scouts, and you know, my family was really important to me. But it was never a career path. It wasn't something that I felt like I could see myself in. I didn't even know who Mia Hamm was until after she retired. So when the soccer opportunity came across my desk, I thought this is an incredible asset for our community, because I was looking back in my life and soccer has been a through line for everything that I've done. It's been kind of a part of every phase of my life. And even now, as like a squirrely middle-aged woman, I still like to play pickup with my kids or with our staff. So it's like the international sport for a reason. Like I love the sport. And so the opportunity came across my desk and I was pitching it to my uncle. And he said, you know, it's kind of like Shark Tank. I like the idea, but I don't really understand it. So I'm out. And I thought, if we pass by this opportunity as a community, we're passing by the ability to have all these jobs and career pathways, not just for our players, but for our staff. And I decided in that moment, without even talking to my husband or my financial advisors, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to go after it and at least try. And what was interesting is part of my due diligence, I was learning about all the different leagues. And this was in 2021. And I was like, so what are the options on the women's side? Because the men's side had all these options. And they said, well, there's not for a community your size. Like, you don't qualify for Division One, but you could do a, you know, amateur summer league if you wanted. And I thought, this is 2021 and there are no options for women's soccer. And I feel really great about the option we went with. We've got Carolina Core FC, which is in MLS Next Pro. We're an independent club. We're in our second season, and it's been incredible. But of all the questions I get, one of the top questions I get is, when are you going to have a women's team? So that's how I got involved with WPSL Pro, because we were waiting around to see what would come available, like what would be a great option for our community, for our club. And so when I found out about Sean Jones and Michael Murphy and Gina Kelly with WPSL Pro really going after it in a thoughtful, meaningful, professional way, I just said, all right, I'm not going to wait around. I'm going to get involved and let's do this, because these are great people. They have great vision, and let's go.
Let's go. And now WPSL Pro is in the works. So let's talk about it. Can you give us the overview of the new league and what you're hoping to do for the ecosystem of women's soccer by creating this league?
Yeah. And I love that you call it the ecosystem women's soccer, because that's exactly what we're doing. Our intention is to come in and work collaboratively with all the other aspects of the ecosystem of women's soccer and to solve a problem. And what is that problem? The problem is that the pathway to the pros is really hard. And there's a huge gap between your collegiate, your summer amateur leagues, and then the top tier soccer in the US, really hard. And so we think about the talent pipeline, and not just on the player side, but the staff side as well. If you want to be in women's sports, it's really difficult to build your career right now. And it was one of those things that all of us involved were hoping somebody else would solve the problem and we could just put our teams in their league. And when that wasn't happening, we said, why not us? And we have an incredible group of people. But one of the things that we are leading with is, how do we make sure that the access to this opportunity is real? And from a league level, we're supporting the clubs in a way that is helpful. We're adding value, but it's also, they can get off the ground, they can launch successfully, quickly, and be sustainable, financially sustainable for the long term. So we're doing a lot of things that are advantageous for the clubs, not necessarily for the league, but that's what's really important to us, is their success is our success. It's not about us as investors in the league. It's about how we can, the whole is truly greater than some of its parts in this case.
You're building this so methodically. And one of the things that I'm really excited about, and you touched on this, Megan, is how WPSL Pro is going to fit within the larger landscape of women's soccer in the US. So can you talk about that a little bit more in depth, where this league fits within the pro and the amateur and the grassroots ecosystem, as we discussed, of women's soccer?
Sure. So we are going to be sanctioned Division Two, so right under the Division One leagues, which right now, currently in the U.S., there is NWSL and then USL Super League. So we will be nestled right under that in Division Two. And there's talks about potentially, with the success of the league, does it make sense to have Division Three? Is that us? Is that somebody else? But of course, you know, time will tell on that. We want to make sure we're really thoughtful. And so one of the interesting things, too, as the opportunity came across my desk and I got to meet Sean Jones, who is the president of WPSL and then one of the lead investors with WPSL Pro. He has been the president of WPSL, which has over 150 teams in its league in 34 states. It's all over the United States. And that is the amateur summer league where a lot of collegiate players play during the summer to keep their legs fresh and you know, all the things that are really important to for the pathway to the pros. And so he, when I, the first time I talked to him, I just felt aligned with his vision. And I was listening for two things when I was talking to him, because I get a lot of opportunities that come across my desk. I'm very fortunate, and I say no to the majority of them. But one of the two of the things I was listening for when talking to Sean was the word choices that he made. Like, how did he speak about his vision for this league? Because if it was from a charitable lens or from a we're doing it because it's, you know, right, that all is very important to do it because it's right, but the charitable lens is not at all what I'm interested in. Like, there is no reason why this should not be considered just like any other professional league launch. And the language that he used was very strong, very convicted. And I felt very aligned with his ethos and how he wanted to do this. And then he also has four daughters that play soccer, and he was just dumbfounded that there was just not a better pathway. So he, you know, he witnessed it for his own family. And then he's seen it for all the players that have played for WPSL. And what's really incredible about this league, the amateur league, WPSL, is that we've had the majority, a lot of our U.S. women's national team stars have come through WPSL. So like Alex Morgan, for example, played in this league. And so it has a track record, which I thought was really impressive. So to be able to build off of that and to know that we have that as one of our cornerstones for building this league was really important. And then, of course, the other piece with Sean Jones, he's very collaborative, and that is how I operate. And I wanted to be sure that whenever I get involved in something, that it is in terms of collaboration, everybody brings something to the table that's their expertise and kind of their North Star and what they know that they can accomplish on behalf of the league. And so the individuals that are involved, so Sean Jones, I mentioned him with his expertise and experience on the amateur side. And of course, Michael Murphy and Gina Kelly coming from the Cleveland Soccer Group, who are dynamic, incredible people. I mean, Michael is... he's very focused on the commercial side, the broadcast, the media, which is very important. And then, of course, Gina on the marketing communications. We have Kayla Green, who's incredible. Really love being a part of this group with her. Ann Hoagie, who has helped businesses and companies have successful launches for long-term sustainability. She is just a brilliant mind, and it's just... it's been incredible to be with this group of people. And we've got others involved. Evan Mitz, who is a soccer strategy genius. And then Brian Anderson is our general counsel. It's just the group of people coming together. You know, great entities are built by great people.
Absolutely. And Megan, you're also one of those great people. So you're included in that list. And you're bringing, like I said earlier, so much wonderful experience to the table here. So for context for our listeners, you're only one of two female primary owners in the MLS Next Pro, which is essentially the equivalent of the WPSL Pro on the men's side of the game. So how has that experience, all of your experience, come together and prepared you for this moment to join this team and help successfully launch WPSL Pro?
Yeah, it's so interesting. People bring that up a lot. And actually, I didn't know that stat until I went with our chief revenue officer for Carolina Core FC to a sponsorship meeting. And he had the slide deck up and was talking about who we are. And then there was a slide of me, and it had that stat. And I looked at him, I was like, that can't be right. He was like, it's right. But it's fascinating to me. And I will say this with like the most excitement is, we went to MLS All-Star this past year in Austin, which was an incredible event in itself. I mean, kudos to the Austin FC team for pulling off a week-long, just high-level event. But what was really telling to me is the conversations that we were having this year versus last year. And this year, every single conversation I was part of, whether it was informal or formal, included women's everybody was talking about, what is your plan on the women's side? What are you seeing? Is there an opportunity? And I'm like, well, actually, let's talk about WPSL Pro, because this fits exactly into what we're doing as far as the soccer ecosystem, talking about the player pathway. And one thing I'm really passionate about, and I know I'm getting off topic a little bit, and I mentioned it a few times, is the job creation. Because sports used to be considered kind of like a vanity investment. You know, everybody, the people that were invested in sports wanted to brag about having a sports team. And some still do. And it is an incredible, the most humbling thing I've ever done is having a sports team. So it's very difficult to do it well. But what I'll say is that the jobs that we've created through just a single team itself, and then what we're going to be doing at the league level of WPSL Pro, is something that communities deserve to have, like the access to that opportunity. You know, not every community is going to qualify for a Division One team. You know, they just can't support it. So for us to be able to bring to other communities what we've brought on the next pro level and on the women's space is something that's really exciting to me. And also, like, let's talk about the problem we're solving with WPSL Pro. So we've got in the college space, of all the levels, there's about like 30,000 female soccer players in the college system, college universities. And they're going from there, ideally, this is the kind of the typical pathway from there to hopefully top tier, whether that's NWSL or USL Super League. Well, there's only 22 teams right now in the whole United States. And so if you're averaging however many per roster, you've got like 500 roster spots. Where do those other like 29,000 people go? They just, I guess they go overseas, some of them. We don't know how to capture that, or at least that's not the data I've been able to find, but they just drop out of the sport. And how disappointing, you know, like we have incredible athletes. The fact that they don't have an opportunity to step into a career that could be really lucrative for them. I mean, I even look at what Alex Morgan has done post-retirement. Like, I mean, she's doing some incredible things, investing, using her experience. And that is the ripple effect of sport, right? Especially for women. You know, one of my favorite stats, because I see myself in it, is that 94% of women in C-suite positions played in organized sport at least through high school. So we can talk about sport and women's sports as far as like the pro side of things, the investment, which it is a lucrative and true business investment. But let's also talk about the sport as a whole and what it does for the ecosystem of our world and how it creates strong, gritty, collaborative people that make the world a better place. Like, I know I'm getting very like philosophical, but like, I just, the power of a sport is truly incredible. And for, if we can create jobs that enrich people's lives so that they can go on to do better things, let's do it.
Absolutely. And the WPSL Pro is so well positioned to help close that gap and keep women playing soccer longer, and then also contribute to an enhanced talent pool within the U.S. Yeah. And again, leading to more job, economic development, both on the athlete level and then, you know, as we develop more teams, creating more opportunities for front office staff, media, et cetera. So it's all so important. And Megan, I feel a little embarrassed that we've gotten this far into the conversation and I haven't asked you like the key details of the league. So for example, when are you guys going to be playing? How many teams are you going to have? Can you break it down for us so we can understand the season and what this is going to look like?
Sure, sure. So launching a league is complicated. So we have to do all the things all at once. Anybody who's ever launched a league can tell you it's way more complicated than it looks like on the surface. So we want to make sure that the launch of the league is successful, not just for the league itself, but for all the clubs. So we're designing it in a way that we, one, want to make sure that the clubs have enough runway to get into the right stadiums to set up their commercial operations in a way that's setting them up for success. So enough runway, again, to be able to have those conversations with sponsors build out their team, not just the roster, but also the front office staff. And so we're looking at likely, we've targeted 27, but it may end up being 28 start. But again, we're being really thoughtful because we want to make sure that the launch of the league and the teams within the league is professional and successful from the onset. We already have enough negative rhetoric about, you know, women's sports not being as professionalized as men's or whatever it is. So we don't want to add to that stereotype. So we're being really thoughtful about how we're listening to the prospective clubs that are coming in. Some exist already in the WPSL space and they're ready to professionalize. Some are like us at Carolina Core, where we've always talked about having a women's team as well. And so what does that look like for the infrastructure? We just built an incredible 11,000 square foot training facility for our men's team. It's important and absolutely vital to me that on the women's side, we have equal, if not better, facilities for our women. So making sure that when we launch, we've got those facilities for them to be successful. So those are the conversations we're having with the prospective clubs about what is a successful launch for them, what's the right timeline. And then, of course, with the U.S. Soccer Federation sanctioning, there's all the different requirements there. But we're being really thoughtful to make sure that the way we're structured as a league, we're adding value from the league level, getting out of the way where we don't need to insert ourselves, but also making sure that is advantageous for the club so that they can have a successful, fast launch and then be financially sustainable in the long term.
And so right now you're in the phase where you're looking to build the teams and add teams to WPSL Pro. So what would you say to someone who might be thinking about getting in the game, buying a team, getting in on expansion? What would you say to them to sell them into it?
I get asked all the time, why? Why did I invest in a soccer team? Why am I invested in a league? And besides the fact that it's just such a fun vehicle for an investment, and the people that you get to work with every day are just, I think, the best. Obviously, I'm highly biased and I have my rose-colored lenses on, but just the people in the sport really are passionate about it. Like, nobody goes into the sports world and with like half passion. You know, everybody is fully in it, which is incredible. But what I'll say as far as from somebody who is looking to potentially own a team in WPSL Pro, it is one of the best vehicles that I can think of for business for good. And that is not just the fact that it is good and right. It's actually financially viable, especially in the way that we're structuring it. And to be able to bring this kind of product to a community that would never otherwise have, it's essentially an events-based business. Our players put on an incredible show week after week. And the memories that are made at these games are some that are going to be carried with people for the rest of their lives. I mean, we see that week in and week out at Carolina Core. It's just the families of all ages love it, and the memories they're making. And after the game, whether it's a win or a loss, hopefully it's a win, they go down on the pitch and get to have autographs and photographs with the players. And it's an incredible vehicle that has a ripple effect beyond just putting money into a fund.
Absolutely. We say it all the time on this podcast. A special thing about women's sports is doing what is right lives right alongside doing what is profitable. So it is good business all around. I love that. And Megan, I just have one last question for you before we shift to our rapid fire closing questions. And it's about the women's soccer space at large. So what's a trend that you're seeing in women's soccer right now that makes you as an investor really bullish on the space's future?
The fact that women's sports and especially women's soccer is a part of almost every conversation I have, and it's unprompted. It's just, what do you think about women's sports and is there opportunity there? And the fact that it is on people's radar is an incredible trend. And I'm bullish on it just because, I mean, look at what Taylor Swift has done, right? Like, she has created a whole economy around experiences for women. And if somebody had said to her, if she put out her business plan for her Eras tour and everything that she's done, I'm sure there would have been people that said, there's not a market for that. And look what she's done. So I'm bullish on women's sports because I believe there is a market for that. There is. We're talking about it. So we've got to create the product so that people can actually buy it.
Absolutely love that. Taylor Swift, such a great case study around what happens when you create for women. Incredible, Megan. That's a good spot for us to take a quick break. And then we're going to come back and close out our conversation with our rapid fire closing questions. As you may know, the goal of this podcast is to show brands, networks, and people in general that it's good business to invest in women's sports. Our sponsor, Ally, shares this belief and knows firsthand the power of investing in women's sports. That's why, along with being sponsors of the National Women's Soccer League, the Atlantic Coast Conference, and the United States Golf Association, they were the first brand to commit to equal media spend in women's and men's sports, because they believe brands have the power to solve media disparity and positively affect the financial trajectory of people's lives. So jump in and be part of the change. To learn more about Ally, go to ally.com. All right, everybody, we are back. And Megan, it's just been such a joy speaking with you today. Thank you again for sharing some time with me this morning. So we're going to get into our rapid fire closing questions. Number one, if you could wave a magic wand and create gender equity in one aspect of sports right now, what would it be?
I would want every girl growing up to never question whether there is a place for her in the sport at any level, and to show up with conviction and confidence, because that, when you're looking at the ecosystem of the sport and what's going to make it successful, is us having a seat at the table, being convicted in it, and bringing what we, our expertise and our perception of what is important and what is right. And that will be what solves, I think, a lot of our issues.
I love that answer. Such a great answer, Megan. All right, before we get to our final question, is there anything else you'd like to share today or anything else you'd like to plug for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it quite a bit. It's just the ecosystem of women's sports. So not just soccer as a whole, even though that's the lens in which I look at the ecosystem, but what role do each of us play? Because there's all these like sports adjacent businesses, and we all need to contribute to make it a healthy, successful ecosystem for us all. And so when people are thinking about investing, it doesn't have to be a club. It doesn't have to be something at that big level. It's even just buying the season tickets for your local club or of your local business. Like, even when it feels a little risky, like, make the investment, sponsor the team, because if people don't show up, we can't continue to build on what we have. You know, I'm from a small town in North Carolina called High Point. And people have, for the longest time, just kind of been negative on what we have in our community and wanting more things. And like, look, if you don't support what we have, we can't get more. So if people want more women's sports, you have to support what we have so we can continue to grow it. And there's value in there. So I just would plug, like, show up where you can and what makes sense to you in any capacity to continue to support the ecosystem.
Absolutely. And that takes me right into our last question that we always close with on the podcast. Megan, why do you think that it's good business to invest in women's sports?
People are already investing in the sport. So what we're doing with WPSL Pro is we're creating another platform for people to invest in. And what's interesting to me is supporting women's sports is not taking anything away from the men's sports. It's not a zero-sum game. It is additive. And there are so many people that I greatly admire that question the return on investment of women's sports. And this is what I tell them. You can't measure demand for something that's not even on the shelf. So we're putting a product on the shelf with WPSL Pro, and we'll see what the market can bear. And I think we'll be really surprised in a positive way about how much demand is out there.
I think we will too, Megan. And that is a perfect place for us to drop the microphone today. Megan, thank you for everything that you and the team are doing with WPSL Pro. I'm excited for everything to come, and I can't wait to continue following along. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Goals Podcast, the business case for women's sports presented by Ally, a changemaker in women's sports steadfast in their commitment to the fight for media equity. To learn more about Goals and our work to grow women's sports, be sure to follow us across social media or visit our website at goals-sports.com. And remember, it's simply good business to be in the business of women's sports.